Morning, everyone. This is not my normal audience, but I haven't had a normal audience for over 50 years, so whatever that is, a normal audience. We're going to be in Acts chapter 1 if you want to turn there and keep your finger there, but we'll pray. Lord Jesus, you have something for us, Lord, today. You tell us, Lord, that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, we know you have that for us. And Lord, you've gathered us here as you gathered your disciples so long ago, Lord, to hear from you, Lord, and today from your Holy Spirit. Lord, you know, every young man and every young woman here, every older person here, every heart, every sorrow, every joy, every bit of brokenness that will only be settled with divine healing. Lord, every heart that needs to leave go of things and move on, Lord, you know those things in me as well. So, Lord, we look to you with expectation. You tell us whenever we gather, in fact, two or three, you're already there in the midst waiting. Thank you for a time to sing your praise in this crazy world, and to open your word. We thank you, Lord, we pray in your name, amen. Guys, I'm so thankful to be here. I spoke years ago, but then never got invited back again. David said this, "Oh God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that has come." So thank you guys for letting me be here. I have the gray hair, so I qualify the verse. And I've had the privilege not only of sharing with the next generation, my sons and daughters, they're all walking with and serving the Lord now, but sharing with their sons and daughters, the generation after that as well. The baton is being passed to you guys. My parents became believers along the way. My grandparents were believers and passed the baton down. My grandfather, born in the 1800s, lived in the house with us. I was 9 years old, and he passed away on Thanksgiving morning. I remember them, a nine-year-old carrying his body down the steps in a bag. But I had sat endless hours with him, talking to him, old guy, white hair, white mustache, suspenders, you know, just somebody from another era. And he would talk to me about the Lord. He died on Thanksgiving, and that Christmas, there was a present from him under the tree, and it was my first Bible that he left for me, and he passed the baton. And so it goes. And you're another generation. And we want to pass the baton to you as well. I don't know what future you have in America, but I know in my heart that America has no future without you. Without you. In Acts chapter 1, the Lord would say this, being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And of course, then the disciples asked him, are you talking about restoring the kingdom to Israel? He said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own words, his own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all of Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And here we are this morning. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. I am always amazed with last words. Have had those with my mom and my dad and so forth. But as I look in the scripture, I'm always amazed at the last things people have to say. Jacob, you know, I watch him in Genesis 49. It says he props himself up on his staff. He's laying on his deathbed, and he calls for the 12 sons to come, and he prophesies over each one of them. Remarkable prophecies. And it says when he's done, he lays down in the bed and he gives up the ghost. And I think, what a way to go. Get all your kids and your grandkids around the bed and prophesy to them. Talk to them about the Lord. How remarkable. I think of Moses and the last few words he had to say to the nation. He said, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And how important that has been to so many of us. I think of Joshua. When he's ready to pass off the scene, he calls the nation. And he says, if you want to, you can worship all the gods that the world worships. You can do all of that. That's up to you. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think of Joseph. His brothers gathered around him, vice regent in Egypt, second most powerful guy in the world. They're afraid that he's going to get even with them now that Jacob has passed off the scene. And he says, no, no, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. He's holding no grudge. And he blesses them and he says, but I ask this. When God brings you out of Egypt, don't leave my body here. I don't want to be laying under a pyramid. I want you to bring me up to the land of Canaan, where my forefathers have been buried, and I want you to bury me there. Because he knows that's where Messiah's coming. And he said, I don't want to wake up in Egypt when he gets here. I want to wake up there when he comes. I'm really touched by David in 2 Samuel 23. It says, these be the last words of David, the son of Jesse. He says, the one through whom the Holy Spirit spoke, through whom God gave his words. And he talks about what a powerful king he's going to be. And he picks up his harp for the last time, and he writes a song. And he says, he shall be like the light of the morning when the sun rises, even a morning without clouds, like the tender grass growing out of the earth with a clear shining after the rain. And he says, and though my house be not so, yet I have an everlasting covenant with the God, which is my salvation. And one day, of course, his kingdom will be established. And you listen to last words of people, you know, kind of their life comes together. And it's remarkable then here to me to hear the last thing that Jesus has to say to his disciples. He gathers them round and he says to them, wait. I'm amazed with that all the time. You think he'd have gathered around and said, go. Go for it. He said, wait. You're not ready. You went to the best seminary the world has ever known, and I was your professor for 3 years. You watched me as a man was let down through the roof who was crippled, and I told him to take up his bed and go home. You watched me reach out and cleanse lepers. You watched me over and over again open the eyes of the blind. You were there in the boat when I rebuked the wind and the sea. You were there when I called Lazarus from the tomb. You scattered in Gethsemane that night. But the cross became central to you. You were there on that resurrection morning when I rose. And you're gathered around me here now. What I want you to do is wait. You know my life. You've watched my character. You've seen me with the poor and the cast down and the broken. You listened to the Sermon on the Mount come from my lips. You listened to the Olivet Discourse when I spoke about the last days, the days we're living in, and what would take place. He said, but what I want you to do is wait. There's a promise of the Father that's going to come upon you. John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And he said, and you're going to need the Holy Spirit to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, even to the uttermost parts of the earth. He tells them to wait. And you think of all of the things he could have left them and left us. It's this one thing. All the impressions on their heart weren't sufficient. All their seminary diplomas weren't sufficient. All of their PhDs weren't sufficient. All of their education, all of those things wonderful. But none of those things sufficient for the next generation. I don't know if you're the last generation. I think you may well be. But then again, I remember your age. 18, 19, there was tremendous racial stress in our nation wrapped around Chicago 7, racial tension. There was an unpopular war. It was Vietnam, it wasn't Ukraine. We were in the midst of incredible inflation. Money was tight everywhere. People were on college campuses protesting, starting socialist and communist groups on campuses. Then the National Guard came out to Kent State University when there was a riot there and opened fire with live ammunition and killed 7 college students and wounded I don't know how many more. And the whole generation was taking drugs, falling apart, I was. Immorality. So many of the things we see today were happening then. And I think the generation before us thought, this is it. This is the, has got to be the end. This is it. And we're looking at all of those things again. We've come full circle. I don't know how many of you guys saw the Jesus Revolution. My wife and I were there, the small chapel, the tent. And saw what God did in that generation in 50 years. And it was a move of the Holy Spirit. And nothing's going to change in this frustrated world unless that happens again. It happened to my generation as a young man then. And I believe, and I'm praying that's going to happen to your generation now. And the Lord knew what was coming. I think, you know, years ago, I was in California when 2001 came, 9/11. We got up in the morning and the Twin Towers were coming down. The Pentagon was under attack. All flights were canceled. I had no way to get home. We went down to the Bible College because my son Mike and about 11 other kids from church were there and spent a couple days with them waiting for United to start flights again. And they finally told us on Thursday we're not going to be flying. So we told Avis, hey, we're returning this car in Philadelphia instead of San Diego. And 46 hours drove across the country. But all that time I'm thinking, I've talked to my wife, you know, because the kids were young then and all at home. And I said, look, there's money on the credit card. You know, if you need help, go to church. You know, go to school today, get the kids out. Because I didn't know, is it going to precipitate? Is it going to get worse? What's going to happen? And I thought, if I could have left them anything, if I knew this was coming, what would I leave them? Ammo? Food? Money? Cash? You know, what would I leave? If I was all-powerful and I was all-knowing, and I was the Lord, the Almighty, what would I leave for those that I love and those that I care so dearly about? And he loves us more than I love them. And I'm still growing in that. So his last words here, as I watch this scene, amaze me. He could have left anything. He could have left power. He could have left all kinds of things. What he says is wait. Wait. The power you need is to be my witnesses when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. He knew what was coming. He was omniscient. He knew the future. He knew that Peter was going to be crucified upside down. He knew that James was going to be beheaded. He knew that Andrew was going to be crucified and shot full of arrows. He knew that Jude Thaddeus would be skinned alive and crucified. He knew that Thomas would be impaled in India. He knew all of their stories. He knew what was ahead of them. And this is what he left. These are his last words. Wait. I have something for you. You're going to need in your generation and the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Because you're going to need power to be witnesses. This is what he's supplying. He knows everything. And this is what he's leaving. And look, remember, this is a time there is no First Amendment rights, Rome. There are no Second Amendment rights. Caesar was claiming to be Lord. And yet the scripture tells us that God sent forth his son in the fullness of time. Under these terrible conditions, when Rome was crushing the world under its heel, God said, this is the perfect time for my son to come. And I think maybe this is the perfect time for him to be demonstrated through you to a frustrated and broken world. You're going to be the minority. You're going to take some heat, friends, relatives. You're going to be afraid to open your mouth sometimes and tell the truth. But we do have that freedom. But I also know government is not the answer. Jesus wasn't a Democrat. He wasn't a Republican. He wasn't a libertarian. And look, I'm not against those things. I'm thankful that we have certain freedoms that the rest of the world doesn't have. I'm not opposed to the First Amendment or the Second Amendment. I think those are tremendous stewardships. I don't think that they write words anymore, like we hold these things self-evident, that all men are created equal before God. And they are endowed with certain inalienable rights. And amongst these are the pursuit of life, liberty, happiness. Those are wonderful things, but you know, that's not the world that we're living in now. My grandma, I remember her telling me about Ellis Island. You know, she comes out of Europe in World War I. She told me one night the army came and said to her and her 10 brothers and sisters, as mom or dad, grab everything you can and run. And she told me that her mom gathered them together and said, you remember that the God we worship here is the same God that they worship on the other side of the Rhine River. And they were dispersed that night, and she never saw most of her brothers and sisters again. And she came here, $25 in her pocket. And I could tell the story when she got old, you know. Here it goes again. I mean, she was just going to tell it, and I knew it, but I always listened to it again. And she talks about coming to Ellis Island and going past the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your restless refuge of your teeming shore. Send me your homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my light beyond the golden door. You know, that meant so much to her. But those freedoms are not there right now, and I don't know where our culture is going. I know this, that Caesar wants to be Lord again. They want to shut your mouth. They want to shut down our churches. They want to promote everything that is insane. Our neighborhoods are falling apart. Our world is at a precipice, and particularly this country. But you're here. Congratulations with what you're inheriting. Sorry we messed it up so much before it got to you. You're here. And the Lord has not changed. You know, they told me that the theme of this conference is, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid. We're living the hidden life with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with him in glory, setting our affections on things above. And because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and because I've seen him do this in a generation that was tattered and hopeless and in darkness, and he brought revival to the whole nation, to the world. And he used the ones that nobody expected him to use, high school, college. And he changed the government with those young people and the world. And because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, I believe he's still saying this. Wait. you guys, we can't wait for 10 days. They waited for 10 days till the Holy Spirit fell. But I believe he's still saying that. Wait. Don't leave this conference without asking for a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Of all of the things you could take with you, of all the natural things that could be supplied, of all the wealth, all the money, all the education, all of those things, none of those things are sufficient in the culture that you and I are in, but the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus himself said to these men he had trained and done miracles in front of and taught, wait. They were all expecting him to say, all right, guys, go for it. He said, wait. Wait. And I say that, I believe the Lord would speak that to us today. You guys agree he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I'm going to ask this before we worship, or I'm just going to ask. First of all, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, when we're saved, we're baptized by the Spirit into the mystical body of Christ. But then we are baptized with the Spirit by Jesus. And then there are continued fillings. If you've never been filled with the Spirit, I'm going to ask you to do this. I'm going to ask you just stand where you are. And I'll wait. You're desiring a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit today. If I was sitting down, I'd stand. I'm already standing. Okay. We'll wait. If Jesus is saying to you, don't depart from this conference without a fresh filling in your heart, without being better equipped to face your own generation with my love and my grace. Stand. Await. I'm going to ask those of you who've stood, raise your hands. You don't have to pray out loud. If you want to, I don't care. Just to raise your hands. You know, in the old West, it was stick 'em up. You know, it was surrender. To raise your hands in your own heart, begin to ask him to fill you with his Holy Spirit. I'd encourage, if you're around someone that you know that's standing, their hands raised, asking God for a fresh filling of his Holy Spirit, just to stand and put your hands on them. Don't say anything. Just pray with them. Agree with them. Ask God to fill them. And let's let this be several moments of silence. And then we'll have Brian come, we'll worship. Lord, I know that you hear, Lord, out loud, every heart's desire, Lord. You promise to give us the desires of our heart as we set our affections on things above. You say that, Lord, if we ask anything according to your will, we would have those petitions. You said to us, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Lord Jesus, that's your word to us. So we stand here, Lord, for several moments, waiting on you, Lord, to move afresh in our hearts, in our lives. We don't have 10 days to gather an upper room in Jerusalem, but you're the same, Lord, yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. And we believe, Lord, this day you're calling us to this. And Lord, as we raise our hearts and we raise our hands, Lord, we pray that you fill us afresh, Lord Jesus. Amen.